talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You like scary movies?
Ghost story and horror film addict.
Ooh, scary movie.
Welcome to Spooky Night with your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre.
Hey y'all, welcome to Boogie Night. This is your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre. Happy holidays and shit to whatever you guys celebrate. I wish you well. I just got back from Maynard's getting a $10 fucking Christmas tree. I'm so excited. I love those rebate forms. I love Maynard's. That's, you know, they're not sponsoring me. If they did, that'd be fucking cool. I just love that store. Some of you might think it's called Menards. It's, you know, it's per your preference. It's always weird to me, though, when they sing their theme song weird in the store. But, so that happened. In a couple hours here, I'm going to a medium with some coworkers. I have never had a reading done. I don't necessarily believe, but I don't not believe either. I do think that there's a lot of frauds out there, but there's, you know, something that could happen out of it. Sadly, I have enough dead loved ones that could come through. Even if my dog came through, that'd be fucking sweet. I would love that. So if there's anything worth commenting on, I'll definitely let you guys know how that goes. Man, it's not until I go to talk for long periods of time that I realize how much spit wells up in my mouth. I don't know why that is. Maybe I just had too much coffee. But whatever. I haven't really watched a ton of great horror movies recently. I haven't been in a horror mood as much, which I know that might be blasphemy considering that I'm doing a horror podcast, but I just haven't been. I've been really more of like a lighthearted spirit, and the horror movies I've watched have definitely been in that for the most part. Tubi is where it's fucking at. If you have never been on Tubi, I would. Don't let the commercials deter you. They're not very long. They're not that big of a deal. They're not repetitive. But I had just watched this one the other night that was called Death Toilet. And it was about this dude. His brother got killed on a toilet by this toilet ghost. And the brother goes back to, you know, try to get his brother's affairs in order, get his estate together, sell the house. And then he hears this sound from the toilet. And so he calls a plumber, and they're like, there's nothing wrong with this toilet. We're plumbers, not exorcists. So, and he's a Vietnam vet, so he keeps having these nightmares that are a mixture of shitty Vietnam flashbacks and this toilet. It was fucking great. The first time I tried to watch it, I woke up to Amityville Death Toilet. And I'm like, oh man, I'm so excited for this. I love those terrible movies, as you guys know. I've also watched not terrible movies. No One Will Save You was fucking awesome. That had horror-ish elements to it, I guess. Some sci-fi. All I'm gonna say is Aliens. That's it. No dialogue. So I was waiting until I was in the mood to watch something like that and give it all my attention, invest in it, commit to it, not be half paying attention. It was fucking worth it. I definitely suggest watching that. That's on Hulu. I was very naive Friday night. I felt wide awake enough. I'm like, I'm gonna watch When Evil Lurks finally. Because, you know, that one I've heard really great things about, but it's Argentinian. It has subtitles. So I didn't want to play the reindeer games of watching it for 20 minutes, falling asleep, and then it takes me 3 or 4 nights to watch it. I wanted to watch it in one foul swoop. Well, that did not happen. But from what I saw, definitely unsettling and a different look at possession. So I'm excited to finish all of that. I do really appreciate that there are some solid Christmas horror flicks out there. It takes the blow off of, you know, the depression of Halloween being over. I love that Christmas is getting spookier. I don't hate Christmas, but I hate all the commercial capitalistic bullshit surrounding it. I just like it to be a good time, because that's what you remember as a kid with Christmas. So far, you know, I've watched Silent Night, Deadly Night. I still need to watch Gremlins. Still need to watch Krampus. Yeah. Try to watch a couple other Christmas horror movies, and it just wasn't really feeling them. But today, the two movies that I want to talk about, this is a double feature. and one of them was from a double feature, so that's exciting shit. I watched both of these movies a little while ago, and I'm talking about them in a different order from when I watched them. The first one is Thanksgiving, which I know Thanksgiving is behind us, but I do believe this movie's in some theaters and you should watch it. The second one is It's a Wonderful Knife. I actually saw It's a Wonderful Knife first, but for the purposes of, you know, going in chronological order of the holidays, I'm going to review them in a different order. So buckle the fuck up, kids. Let's go. So, Thanksgiving. Those of you that have seen Grindhouse, and that's why I was like, oh, double feature. Because Grindhouse is a double feature. You have Planet Terror and you have Death Proof. I love them both. Both at the beginning of those movies, there are fake movie trailers. One of them is Machete with Danny Trejo. That movie's fucking awesome, and I remember loving the sequel. Thanksgiving was another one. And the other one is Werewolf Women of the SS, starring Nicolas Cage, directed by Rob Zombie. Now, we all know damn well that Nicolas Cage is absolutely going to do this, so we're just waiting on Rob Zombie. And then I feel like the Grindhouse prophecy will be fulfilled. Now, I mean, it took how long for Thanksgiving to come out? I think Grindhouse was like 2007 and 2008. So it took some time. Eli Roth's definitely been dragging his feet on it. He's done some other things. Now, Eli Roth, I don't love his shit necessarily. I've never seen Green Inferno. I've seen Cabin Fever, and Cabin Fever's pretty legit. The Hostels, I have kind of mixed feelings on. There's redeeming moments in them, but I really don't. I mean, the whole 2000s torture porn era, I mean, I guess, I wouldn't say it's an era, but era of movies, it's not my favorite. I've heard really good things about Saw X, but I'm not really in a huge hurry to see it because the Saw, I don't know, that era of horror is not my favorite. It was like, after 9/11 was torture porn and Japanese girls with hair in their faces. And it's like, we've done a lot better since then, I think. So, I'm not, you know, in full disrespect and hatred of it, but it's not my favorite time. But, you know, the one thing I really do like about Eli Roth is he has a style. It's gory. There's some camp to it. And I just love his dedication to the craft and his passion for horror. That comes out in, if you guys have ever seen Eli Roth's History of Horror, it's a great show. He interviews a bunch of directors, actors, and just, it's such a cool show to watch, and it goes by different movies, subgenres. The only bad thing about it is if you haven't seen a movie, it does ruin the end. But lucky for me, I have a terrible memory, so I don't remember any of that shit. But that's just something to know going in. It's a good show. But so Thanksgiving is Eli Roth directed. Now, Thanksgiving starts off in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where all you history people know that's where the Mayflower rolled in. That's where the first Thanksgiving and shit happened. So Thanksgiving starts off, there's this, you know, kind of group of friends, the chick, and I'm not, you know, I tried looking up these people's names because I didn't remember. It really doesn't matter. They all kind of suck. Whatever. So this chick, she's in a wealthy family. Her father owns a department store. Now, when they first show her father, I'm like, is this a fucking Dr. Robotnik Sonic origin story? Because the dude looks just like him. Like, you know how they had the whole Joaquin Phoenix Joker before he started getting, like, Joker makeup and shit? This dude looked like he could be Dr. Robotnik before he became a fucking Sonic villain. I'm like, oh, is that where this is going? No. He just looks that way. But he owns this department store. You see this family getting together for Thanksgiving, and their buddy cop friend, Patrick Dempsey, a.k.a. McDreamy, comes in, and they're all having a little Thanksgiving dinner together, and the one guy has to go to work because he works at that department store, which is kind of bullshit because it's Thanksgiving, right? So the girl, since it's her dad's store, she takes some friends, she takes her boyfriend to the store. They get in early, and they're antagonizing this other group of dudes because they're, like, the rivalry to their football team or whatever. And they're taunting them within the store. Well, what happens? There's a mass of people that come in, trample everybody, and the one dude's wife gets killed. It's just, like, a pure fucking shit show. People get killed along the way because people are greedy and want to fuck a... There's, like, free waffle irons and shit. Who cares? Get one for $15 off Amazon. Well, excuse me. Time goes on, and there's somebody that is not happy about this tragedy at the store. And he takes this generic-looking pilgrim mask that they call John Carver. I guess that's like one of the, probably the original pilgrim's name or whatever. It's a John Carver mask. And starts killing people. And, you know, this chick, the main chick, is getting mad because her dad's, you know, still keeping the store open for Thanksgiving. Just still taking advantage of the opportunities. She's like, Dad, you know, maybe we cool it with opening the store on Thanksgiving because that didn't really go very well the first time. He's like, no, it's fine. I donated money to charity. Well, it's not fine. There's a killer that's coming after everyone and definitely singling people out from this tragedy. The ones that this killer thought, you know, these people conducted themselves poorly during this whole thing. So, you know, there's definitely a theme of, you know, capitalism, consumer greed. I don't know. Maybe somebody could tell me differently. I don't fuck with the Black Friday shit. I've never cared enough. Whatever. I want to stay home. I don't feel like it's as big of a deal, though, as it used to be years and years and years ago. I could be wrong. I've heard that it depends on the store and whatever. But honestly, fuck that shit. It's not my thing. It's really appalling that people act that way when it comes to cheap fucking TVs, but whatever. So, yeah, these people are getting picked off one by one by this John Carver character with this pilgrim mask on. So that's the basic premise of Thanksgiving. Now, I did see a couple trailers for this before it came out. So a couple of the kills were not a surprise, but one thing I will say, they were so much fun. There was the right amount of gore, the right amount of humor. There's the Thanksgiving theme to each one. It was just such an entertaining movie. I loved it all in all. I will say, it gave me Scream vibes. It made me feel like I was watching a Scream movie, but with the Thanksgiving theme. I wasn't mad at that, though. I think part of what gave it the Scream vibe is because, like, there's people that are set up to be the killer, and then it shows you, oh, no, no. And, like, Ghostface, the Ghostface mask is popular because of the Stab movies. You find them everywhere. This John Carver mask is popular because it's just a generic fucking pilgrim mask. So, and the one thing I'll say, too, I don't really feel one way or another about Patrick Dempsey as an actor. I've seen a little bit of Grey's Anatomy, fucking McDreamy. I don't think he's all that hot. But, you know, like, acting-wise, he showed off his chops a bit in this movie. I was actually kind of impressed at his Massachusetts accent to start shit off. But he wasn't bad. I can't complain. John Carver is definitely, I think, going to be more of a holiday staple. We're going to see some more John Carver merch. Do I think he's going to be a legend? Like, you know, Freddy, Jason? Not necessarily. I think Art the Clown is headed more in that direction. But I definitely am going to watch this one. I want to buy it. I want to watch it every year. It's going to become a staple. You know I've done a podcast on this before. Thanksgiving is my go-to Thanksgiving movie. Blood Rage is also great. There's definitely some ones I haven't seen. But I love that there's more and more holiday flicks coming out for these horror movies. And Thanksgiving definitely didn't disappoint. I won't obviously spoil who the killer is and stuff, but that whole revelation reminded me of Scream. So, I don't know. If you like gore, and honestly, I wouldn't say it was tame, because it wasn't, but I was not sure to expect how gory Eli Roth was going to take it. I was kind of surprised it wasn't a little gorier, but not saying that it was, like, kid shit, because it wasn't. But it was fun. It was camp. It was a good time. Lots of Thanksgiving puns. It was just... And you don't... Or at least I didn't. I didn't really feel bad for any of these people that were getting killed because they deserved it. And so that's why I didn't really go into detail about finding out who these characters were and what their names were, because it doesn't fucking matter. It's a rich family that's involved with this fucking retail store shit. And then there's people that get killed that were involved in perpetuating this tragedy somehow. There's the chick's boyfriend, like, ghosts her, and then she gets a new boyfriend, and they pair off, like, trying to implicate the one boyfriend. And that's where, like, the Scream feels come in. It's like, they want you to know that nobody is safe and everyone's a suspect. So, did it have a Scream Thanksgiving feel? Yes, but I wasn't mad at it. All in all, good flick. I recommend it. I know that it's after Thanksgiving, but I'm sure you could still watch it and have a good time. I don't necessarily believe that you have to wait for that time of year. And I know Thanksgiving was a couple weeks behind us, but, you know, a lot of shit is going on. It's kind of hard to get out to see shit when you're cooking that pussy-ass turkey and pizza rolls or whatever the fuck you cook up for Thanksgiving. Shit gets busy. So if you didn't get a chance to see it and it's still out, I definitely would go. Well done, Eli Roth. Let's get Werewolf Women the SS going, please. I'm so fucking ready for it. Now, for the second part of our double feature, It's a Wonderful Knife. I saw this one first at the beginning of November. That was one I was just scrolling through my Regal app, and I saw it, and I was like, what the fuck is this? I knew nothing about it beyond reading the little, like, two-sentence description about what it was. And I wasn't sure if Arlo would want to go because it said that Joel McHale was in it and he hates Joel McHale, but surprisingly, he was on board. And I'm so glad that he was. I have to tell you right off the bat, I love having the experience of going in blind to something. It doesn't happen nearly often enough. It's just adds an extra layer of fun and surprise. I hate when shit is spoiled, you guys. I can't say that enough. And actually, we were talking about that with Christmas presents and stuff, too. I'm like, I don't want to fucking know. I ruined my Christmas as a kid a couple different times. And I was so fucking devastated. I don't like to do that anymore now. So, It's a Wonderful Life. Knew nothing. Went in, sat down, popcorn and fucking cookie dough bites in hand. Automatically, it shows that it's a Shudder original. You guys that don't have Shudder, you know, not everything on there is for everybody, but the one thing I will say is there's such a fucking variety on there. You have, you know, some of your mainstream classics, you have Shudder originals, you have a lot of different foreign ones. There's something on there for everybody, and I really stand by that app. I think I paid annually for it. It's like $60 for the year. Totally worth it. So don't sleep on Shudder if you're like, oh, I've never heard of any of these movies. That's the fucking point. Read the descriptions. Find some new shit. It's truly an adventure. And if I didn't have a job and a lot of stuff going on, I would certainly use it a lot more and check out some more shit. They got podcasts. They have series. They have things broken down by subgenres. It's awesome. So no, there's not every movie on there is a winner. But some of the Shudder originals that I've seen on there are fucking legit. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, this could be cool. You know, at the very least, this will be on Shudder. So if people don't get a chance to see it, it's going to release there right afterwards. So, as you can guess, It's a Wonderful Knife. It is a horror version of It's a Wonderful Life. Definitely, you know, I would say there's definitely some comedic moments, but it's also depressing too, because if you've seen It's a Wonderful Life, that movie's depressing as fuck. And I do love it in terms of, because it's not the Hallmark fucking, oh yeah, everything is awesome, I'm getting engaged on Christmas. It's a fucking deep, depressing, realistic movie, and that's why I do enjoy it for a Christmas movie. So, if you can imagine, It's a Wonderful Life definitely takes some of that tone. The whole premise of this movie is it starts off in this little, quaint town, it's called Angel Falls. You know, it's real... They make it real Hallmarky at first to be like, oh yeah, things are great, we love Christmas, this town is awesome. Joel McHale and his family are celebrating their Christmas shit. They walk past his boss, Justin Long, the mayor of the town. They're really good friends. Annie's his boss. Justin Long, right off the bat, you look at him, you're like, this guy's a douchebag. He's got overly big white teeth, is smiling constantly. You know this guy's gonna be a fucking shot. Well, the family, you know, already kind of hates Justin Long, but they're trying to, you know, mind their P's and Q's for their dad. Well, the dad, Joel McHale and Justin Long, go to an old man's house. Spoiler alert, it's fucking cigarette smoking man from the X-Files, and that made me really excited. They're trying to, you know, do some community storefront, some kind of business bullshit, and expand upon it. But cigarette smoking man lives in this house that is kind of cop blocking that whole thing. It's like an old historic house, and they try to get him to sign the house over to them, and he's like, fuck no, suck my cigarette smoking cock. And so they're like, oh, okay. And, you know, they kind of move on from that story. Winnie, Joel McHale's daughter, goes to this house with her brother Jimmy and her best friend to go to a Christmas party. Well, and this movie, you know, there's no slow build-up. Within the first couple scenes in this movie, there's this party. There's a killer on the loose. It fucking kills her best friend immediately. Tries to go after her and Jimmy. She prevails. She gets the killer. Unmasks him. Finds out it's Justin Long, the mayor, that piece of shit. And he kills cigarette-smoking man before he comes to the party. So, you know, he's trying to, you know, get what he wants. Well, you know, okay, Winnie saves the day, great. She kills the killer, but it doesn't take away from the fact that her best friend is dead. She suffered a trauma. I mean, I'm sure I would be traumatized if I had to go up against a Christmas killer. Well, they fast forward to 1 year later, and things are weird. Winnie is still grieving. She still feels that trauma. And it's Christmas time, and she's like, wow, everyone is acting like this horrible shit didn't happen last year. They're either ignoring it or just being straight up insensitive to it. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not really feeling this Christmas bullshit this year because it's a time of loss for me. But nobody is sensitive to that. Her dad buys her brother Jimmy a fucking truck and gives her this shitty tracksuit. And she's like, it's not even about the gifts, but just, like, everything's so fucking weird. Why are they acting like nothing happened? Now, it did take me a second to figure out who this character was. It was her aunt. It's fucking, I don't know the actress's name, but Ginger from Ginger Snaps. I'm like, fuck yeah. That movie's awesome. I just saw it for the first time within this year. But she's, like, the cool, hip, lesbian aunt. And she's the only one that seems to have any sense. So she's just pouring her fucking teenage niece a drink, and she's like, I'm so sorry that everybody's being assholes and acting like you didn't suffer this tragedy. So, following the style of It's a Wonderful Life, Winnie says, you know what, I wish I'd never been fucking born. This is crazy. Why am I around for all this nonsense? Well, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it all. She goes to this new life where it's her life of Angel Falls and her family and this and that, but she doesn't exist. Nobody knows who she is. But in this parallel universe, things are different. Justin Long is still, you know, he's still the mayor. He's still very much alive. He's still a piece of shit. And that's what's driving her crazy, is she knows that he's the killer, but nobody else knows that. And the killings are just getting more rampant, and he's killing more people, but the town doesn't do anything about it. That problem's just gotten worse. The one thing she finds out is that her brother Jimmy was a casualty of that murder. Nobody knows who she is. She goes to the same Christmas party again, and the same weird girl is there. Her name's Bernie, but they all call her Weirdo, which is so sad because she's so sweet. So she's like, hey, I know your name's Weirdo. And she's like, wow, that's cool. That's not really all that original of a nickname. And trying to convince her, hey, I am from a different time of the same universe. It's just parallel this, 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 and this. So she's trying to work her way through to get back to her real life. She figures out that, oh, the Aurora Borealis is showing, And once that's, like, wanes and goes away completely, she can't go back. So she's trying to figure out, how do I go back to my old life and try to stop this douchebag fucking mayor from prevailing. So this movie was lots of fun. Also, I definitely like it as a holiday flick. Justin Long plays such a good douchebag. And horrible things always happen to him. I'm just going to leave it at that. I mean, he gets killed right off the bat, so there's that. And apparently, he's a douchebag in real life, you know, into underage girls and shit, so that's icky. And that's not, like, new news either. They show, you know, years ago from Punk'd, they're like, hey, Justin Long, why are you buying them fucking alcohol? They're 18 years old, so that's nothing new. Do I like him in horror movies? Yeah, because his character, there's something about him that's always redeeming. So yeah, he plays a great douchebag once again. Joel McHale, actually, there's a little bit of humor to this movie, I would say, but, like, you know, Joel McHale is typically pretty comedic actor. He has some moments in this where he exercises his chops a little bit. He's not all one note. He's a grieving father, and there's more that comes to light about his character. There's some depth to it. Cigarette smoking man, fuck yeah. I have no idea how old that bag of a wrinkly man is, because I feel like he was pretty old in the X-Files. But good for him, man. I love that guy so much. He's one of the best villains in fucking history. And even though he had a small part, I was happy to see him. Fucking Ginger Snaps, that was dope. She was a cool character. I enjoyed this movie. It was a lot of fun. I love that I knew nothing about it. Was it amazing? Nah. No. But it was fun, and it makes the transition to the holidays, you know, something to look forward to. Another good Christmas flick to watch. And I do love It's a Wonderful Life. It's a classically good movie that's not fucking retarded. I'll just say it. I'm not the Hallmark Christmas type. So I would definitely say watch it if you can. I don't think it's in the theaters. It was only for a limited time around here, but if you have Shudder, it is most certainly on there. It was a lot of fun, and just, I would love that experience more. And, you know, I do it to myself, too. I'm on TikTok, and there's a lot of horror influences. I've already heard, I cut it off, but I already heard a little bit too much about Godzilla. Not in a bad way, but, like, I definitely want to go see it, but I should have went in blinder, so shame on me. I do it to myself. So, two holiday movies you can watch, Thanksgiving and It's a Wonderful Life. Both a lot of fun, both great kills, both stay true to the holiday theme. You know, I can't complain. I just, you know, life's too short. It's too serious. I want to have a good time. It's funny. Arlo and I were talking earlier about how some people were like, oh, well, that movie wasn't scary. It's like, no, I gave up on that a long time ago. I'm not watching this shit to get scared. I'm watching it to be entertained, have fun. I love the camp. Yeah, if there were intestines laying out everywhere in real life, I would be traumatized. But because I know it's a movie, and it's done in this style, and it's campy, and it's funny, it's just a good fucking time. I'm enjoying myself. I mean, I don't watch movies called Death Toilet for nothing. I don't watch it because I'm like, I'm going to be scared of toilets after this. It's not going to be like a Jaws situation where, like, I'm afraid to swim. I'm afraid to take a shit. I would be fucked. I'd be shitting my pants constantly because Lord knows I ate sauerkraut last night and it is not treating me well. So, anyway, I digress. I shit all the time. There you go. So, those are two to watch. Got Godzilla that I want to see. I don't know what else horror-wise is coming out at the end of the year. Just some quick rundown if you haven't listened to my past Christmas podcast. My three that I watch every year, Gremlins, Krampus, Silent Night, Deadly Night. But the second one's my favorite because it's just a flashback of the first one. And it's goofy as fuck. Got some good one-liners in there. It's a really good time. Better Watch Out is another great one. Oh, why did I not say Black Christmas? What the fuck is wrong with me? I love the original Black Christmas. That's one I watch every year. Also on Shudder. I like the 2006 remake. The one from 2019 or whatever, not so much. Yeah, Better Watch Out is good. There's... I have to pee. So that's kind of inhibiting my ability to think about some more. But start there. But yeah, I gotta pee something fierce. So I'm gonna let you guys go. I will definitely be doing an episode at the end of the year about the 2023 horror movies that I enjoyed. Ones that are coming up. That's about all I got. Merry Christmas to all, and Kwanzaa, and Hanukkah, and Winter Solstice, all that good happy shit. Stay spooky, y'all. Peace.